Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here at WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. It is, Sunday, January 30th, as I record this intro, fresh off the Nor'easter, snowpocalypse, snow explosion, whatever you want to call it. We got it here in the Northeast, and not too bad where I'm from, about 9 inches or so, maybe almost a foot. And really, the only casualty was my neighbor across the street. His father-in-law was plowing and backed into my mailbox. So I guess we get a new mailbox at some point coming up soon. So that's super exciting. You know what else is exciting? Not talking about pro wrestling or mixed martial arts. That's right. None of that conversation on the next hour you're going to hear. What you are going to hear is comic book talk, Marvel movies talk, DC movies talk, TV talk, and all that stuff as well. I've been wanting to do a podcast like this for quite some time just because I want to see how it does. And just these are other interests of mine, and it doesn't hurt to, you know, chat about these things every now and again. Obviously, these things are huge with Marvel movies and DC, and it's just everything going on. And I want to chat all about this stuff. So I enlisted Rich Dambolian of the Matt Men, who is a avid comic book fan, and to join me on this ride. So what you're about to hear is an hour and 15 minutes of two guys just talking about comic book movies and comics and TV shows and that type of stuff. If you're into this stuff, I think you'll enjoy this conversation. If not, we'll see you probably in a few days for a new more wrestling or MMA-themed edition of the show. But yeah, screw it. Let's do it. Myself, Rich Dambolian from Matt Men, talking all about comic book movies and TV, the stuff we saw in 2021 and stuff we're looking forward to in the year ahead. Enjoy. Well, it's a new year. I would say it's a new me, but it's the same me and the same guest. Actually, a guest from the past. I'm not making any sense. Rich Dambolian from the great Matt Men podcast, always great, is here once again. And Rich, say hi to the fine people.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me again. This is great. We're establishing a rapport. I like it.
I love it. Yeah, we're just talking off air about Maine and vacation spots and all that stuff. It's like we're family now, Rich. I love this. It's good.
Oh, absolutely.
Good stuff. Rich was part of the year review series that wrapped up in the very first part of January as we finished up December. And I've wanted to do a podcast about like nothing to do with wrestling, nothing to do with MMA, nothing to do with anything you really hear on this very website. But I've wanted to do this for a long time because, you know, this is one of my interests this week. Is actually all the time, but this week I wanted to focus on was comic books, comic book movies, comic book pop culture, those type of things. And Rich is the perfect guy to talk this about, as I mentioned when I talked to him on the podcast before, because he also does a comic podcast. He's big into this culture. And I guess, so this is going to have no pro wrestling conversation whatsoever, thank God, because you can hear that plenty of other spots, including the great Matt Men podcast. But Rich, I guess we'll kind of start. Let's kind of give the baseline of what was your gateway into comic book culture, life, all that good stuff, and we'll kind of go from there.
Oh, boy. All right. So, again, thank you for having me. I'm going to try to keep this as succinct as possible. I have an older brother. He's 12 years my senior, and when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was read his comic books because he had a ton of comics that were just all over the place. So when I was a kid, he was already college age. And a little factoid, my brother actually went to college when he was 16. He went away to college because he got skipped. He skipped like a grade and a half, basically. Oh. So he was out of the house. I was already, you know, like a child. But as soon as he left, sorry, Pat, if you're listening to this, my mom would be like, well, your brother's not home. He's not going to hoard his comics, so you can read them, you know. And I would kind of like pick and choose. He had everything organized, like in my grandmother's basement. He had like the classic comic book room, you know, like that classic 70s, early 80s comic book room. With like Star Wars figures and dioramas hanging, model kits hanging from the ceiling and all that stuff. And just like this treasure trove of comics, like boxes and boxes. And it was like, you know, it must have taken me until I was like 12 or 14 to pretty much get through what my brother had, you know. And then, you know, during that time, I was also like, I remember buying my first book around the corner from my house, the house I grew up in, when I was a kid, and I still have it. And it was like this issue of Batman. And I remember just like being kind of gobsmacked by the cover because it looked so cool. Mm-hmm. I think it was I want to say it was Batman 293 or 393. And it's I believe it's like Paul Galassi doing the art, and it's Batman standing in front of a cave with a torch and a batarang in his hand, and it was lit almost like, it almost looked like it could have been like an Indiana Jones still, you know?
Yeah.
But ever since then, yeah, like I've been a consistent reader my entire life. I turned 40 last year. I'm still going to the comic shops weekly.
Oh, nice.
And I'm still picking up books weekly, and it's this like, it's an obsession and a passion, and it's like, it's super fun, and I've always considered it like super fun, and you know, that's pretty much how I got into it and still like kind of stay into it, you know.
Yeah, so my similar parallels, well, I'm the older brother in my mm-hmm. In my family, and I cannot remember when Spider-Man was my gateway superhero, and I ride or die with him, no doubt. Awesome. About it. Always had it's to the point like I would if there were Spider-Man toys at my friend's houses, I distinctly remember getting in trouble for, we went to one of my mom's friend's houses and they had kids there, whatever. I don't think the kids were there, but they had, there were some Spider-Man toys that this kid had, and I didn't have them. And I ended up taking them with me in my jacket on the way out. And afterwards, my mom's like, where did these come from? And I'm like, I don't know. And yeah, so I remember getting in trouble for that. I was like absolutely addicted. So I'm 44, so I'm a couple of years older than you. So I was born in 78, and then kind of my coming of age in terms of youth was the 80s. And it was, I can't remember how I started getting into comics. It must have been through seeing the character. It could have been through like, you know, Spider-Man is Amazing Friends or something like that with the TV show. And at that point I was like, it would be like, if I went to a drugstore like Laverdier's, this old chain that used to be in Southern Maine, mm-hmm. I would go there and try to get stuff. Any like bookstore in a mall, like in the Auburn Mall in Auburn, Maine, there's a place called Walden Books, which is a chain, and this huge comic section. I remember that feeling of like going in the aisle and walking down and seeing like all the different colors and all these comics and not knowing what I was going to find. Cause again, it's so much different than it is now in terms of accessibility, getting stuff and all that. Yeah. It really didn't have any like, you know, distinct comic stores that were near me. It was pretty much just, you kind of get what you get. And, but yeah, I amassed a pretty good collection. I was pretty hardcore Marvel. I didn't venture outside too much of that. You know, we'd go to flea markets and things like that. I would get different stuff, and, you know, it was pretty much just, you know, catch as catch can as far as trying to get stuff. And then, you know, kind of went away in high school a bit. And then in, I think it was after, it must have been after college. Actually, it was because I distinctly remember this. So I was working in professional hockey for a hockey team and in the front office. And one of the creative directors named Ben Pierce. And so Ben saw, I think he saw like I had a small figurine or something on my desk. I just had always kind of carried with me. And he's like, kind of looking at me, he's like, are you like into comics? And I'm like, yeah, are you into comics? It was kind of one of these like weird conversations of like, it was like, because comics weren't like cool then, you know what I mean? Like it was still this like taboo type of thing of like, you know, when, you know, people are like, and like now it's like, who gives a shit, right? But like then, yeah. You know, this was, it just wasn't like everyone wasn't kind of watching him and into the movies and all that stuff, which most people I think kind of are now. And so we kind of just struck up a friendship over it. We started a podcast. It was called Ben and Josh's Near Mint Comic Show. It ran for 100 or so episodes. And we would just get together like a weekly or biweekly basis and just talk about comics, like for, you know, 2 hours at a time, sometimes three. It was just stuff we bought because he had different tastes than I did. There was some stuff we liked mm-hmm. As well. And that was, it was kind of just, it was fun. We went to New York City Comic Con a couple of years, and that was a unique experience with some local ones as well. And just kind of really kind of get into the culture and things like that. And yeah, somewhere along the way, I got out of buying regularly. I think, actually, I think I know, it was my, we're having some money issues at the time, and I needed to cut costs in a few different ways. And that became one of them. It was kind of a sacrifice I didn't really want to make. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll at least be able to get stuff in trades and things like that. And then I kind of get out of that. And then something I'll talk to you about in a couple of minutes is it was once you get out, because of like how much things change with reboots and restarts and things like that, I notice it now more than ever. It's hard to be like, okay, if I want to get back in, where do I get back in? Where's a good starting point again, right? And I think it's one of the issues the industry kind of faces, but that's a different subject. But that's kind of my gateway in. And I am thrilled that my daughter seems to have taken to them, the Marvel characters. We have a couple like age-appropriate books. She's only five, so a couple like kind of age-appropriate books, but she's interested. She likes watching the Spidey and His Amazing Friends cartoon on Disney, which is age-appropriate and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of cool seeing her pick up on that stuff. And yeah, who knows? We get this tradition started all over again. So that was a long explanation of how I got into it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, like I like the father-daughter aspect is awesome because my brother, you know, he has a 7-year-old daughter and now she's kind of like, all right, let's see what daddy likes with the comics and all that stuff. And, you know, her middle name is Ivy. My brother's a huge Batman fan, yep. You know. So, you know, and he still reads stuff and it's cool seeing her start getting into, you know, like kind of figuring out what she likes now as far as like the comic book stuff goes. So that's like always kind of cool to see like when a kid really, really gravitates towards that stuff, you know?
Yeah. The trips to the comic book store, I remember when I was a kid and then, you know, seeing, I mean, they make things very accessible because they want people to get, you know, interested in these type of things, you know?
Yeah.
And so my daughter, when she started watching the show, one of the characters is Ghost Spider, who's kind of a takeoff of like the Gwen Stacy clone thing, kind of like the Into the Spider-Verse and all this stuff. And she immediately gravitated towards her because, you know, she's a girl and she has blonde hair like my daughter does. And there's kind of like, I remember for years about, you know, hearing about, you know, lack of inclusivity when it came to comics and things like that. And I didn't really understand it, of course, because every comic book character is white guy and for the most part. And, you know, but to see, it's kind of like see my daughter be like, oh, this is someone I like because she reminds me of me. That's like, oh, this is kind of what people were asking for this whole time. Make people that and characters that I can relate to that look like me, same skin color, that feel like, you know, just. And it's like, no shit, this is exactly what people were talking about the whole time. And this is why we have all these, you know, more diverse characters and multiverses where you kind of can explain some stuff in canon and but still have different things. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see it in those ways.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, yeah, it was so, yeah, so one of the things we talked about kind of those things, but you know, obviously a big gateway for a lot of people these days is movies and the Marvel movies and DC movies for better or worse or all that stuff. So kind of talk to me about your relationship with Marvel, DC, comic book, pop culture when it comes to the big screen and then also the small screen. What do you take in? What are you interested in and all that?
So I generally try to get into everything, you know, and what I find is the stuff that doesn't enter into my real, like my realm of what I consume anymore are the animated things. So I will watch the DC movies, but I know the animated movies and series or whatever that are all like available on HBO Max, I know I have not watched like at least like 85% of them.
Yeah.
And they're good and I like them. So like every so often, like I'll pop one on, but that's something that has completely eluded me. Same thing with a lot of the Marvel cartoons over the last few years where I hear they're pretty good and pretty decent, but those have eluded me. Like I'm current with comics. Yes. I've said that before. Movies, I'm also current. Like I love movies in general. You know, like I'm a big like a movie freak, you know, kinda.
Yeah.
I feel like freak's a too strong a word.
No, it's true.
It's a weird word. Yeah. But, you know, like I'm a big film fan and I think at this point though, I don't know if this is me getting older or being not necessarily jaded, but I'm a fan of the idea of a superhero movie more now than sometimes like the actual movie. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when I read like, oh, cool, they're making this movie. That's all, and I get like really thrilled about it. But then I'm like, not to say when's enough, but I think at this point, I would like to see something a little different from my superhero movies.
Okay.
You know, if you can understand what I'm trying to say, like I love the Marvel movies. I really do. I think they're great. But I think as consumers and as adults who grew up with this stuff, I think it's time to pull the trigger on something a little more filmatic and filmatically artful than what we're getting, you know, because, you know, if you've been a fan of comics, like growing up, you understand like the DC and Marvel had certain like house styles, right? Mm-hmm. Certain artists could draw books that looked exactly the same, you know, like a lot of them were like interchangeable because of how, you know, rapid the publishers needed to put them out. I think we're kind of jumping into those waters with the Marvel movies a little bit, you know, where like everything looks exactly the same. It comes off a little bit soulless at times, you know. Again, not to say that I don't love like Infinity War and Endgame has been on my TV like for background noise like forever, you know. If it's on TV, I'll put it on, mm-hmm. right? But I do think with the superhero stuff, maybe it's because it's like a little very like precious for me, or like guys like us who are like fans. I want to see a little something more, like almost like akin to like what James Mangold did with the Logan movie.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So give me an example of a project, something you may want to see a little bit different, maybe an idea for a character or something that kind of gives me a little bit better idea, or gives us a better idea rather, got what you might like to see.
Oh man, this is going to sound like very right off the top of my head. This is going to be a little loaded, and I kind of want your thoughts on this too.
Yes.
I enjoyed the Snyder Cut.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Right.
Let's go. Let's do it.
I enjoyed the Snyder Cut. I wish that was what was released in the theater, because I liked, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
It's a 4-hour cut of a pretty nutty movie that was really held together by like a lot of duct tape, right? Mm-hmm. The 4:3 square style really did it for me. And there are a lot of films now that are kind of aping that classic style, like the recent Macbeth that was done by Joel Coen with Denzel Washington. It was shot in like 3:4 or 4:3, very square. Same thing with like The Lighthouse. I think A24, the production company, is kind of adapting that sort of like retro thing.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that. I thought it added something like filmatically to it. I liked the length of it. I liked how like it was just kind of, you know, like this is very surface stuff. This is not, you know, this is like film school 101 for me, where I'm like, this looks dynamic. This feels cool. The editing is cool. A lot of weird choices in it. You know, do I agree with how those characters were written? For the most part, probably not. Not really, you know? But again, that's just like my inner nerd thing. Am I going to complain about it? No, that's, you know, it's a movie. I had nothing to do with the movie, but I did enjoy that. I think if you open your eyes to more artistry, you can have, I'm going to do like a little tangent. The way the Star Wars stuff is shot now, like the Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian, how those are kind of like, it's a series, yes, but there's different artistic influences per episode. I think if you do that with comic movies, that would work more going into the future. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
As of now, I think a lot of the stuff we see on screen is a little predictable because there's nothing at stake. You know, like, you know, Shang-Chi's going to win, you know, the Avengers are going to win, et cetera, et cetera. At some point, I'm sure Tony Stark will come back. You know, I think, you know, without getting too heady about it, you also, no matter how artistic I want a movie to be, you run into the problem of, what does the studio want? Because you know, you can kill Iron Man, that's cool, But you could also bring him back, and with the comic book movie, you can bring him back in a certain regard. You know, I think if the stakes were higher in these flicks and it was a little more artistically done, that would be the evolution of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I think, have you ever read the book called The Big Picture? Came out a couple of years ago about the movie industry and kind of why they moved into, how they got kind of how we're in this spot with franchises and sequels and reboots and things like that.
I didn't. I'm going to make a note of that. It's called The Big Picture.
The Big Picture. Yeah. Cool. It's it came out in, I think it was 2018, and it's been on my Kindle forever. I heard the author on another podcast. I'm like, huh, this is kind of interesting. And I finally started reading on a plane trip a couple weeks ago. And so it's just kind of interesting, because I think so many people think like, it's because these things make so much money. That's why they're doing this stuff. And it's actually, it is, but there's a lot more to it. And it talks about the kind of how, you know, Disney really started a lot of this stuff, and really how it kind of the differences between their cinematic universe and the idea of these for other companies is they're just this, there's one connecting force being Kevin Feige that basically directs everything else and is so much different than what happened prior to that in movies where, you know, actors and creatives kind of drove the process. Now it's a producer that's driving this process, and now actors and celebrities in the outside kind of have to bend to their will, and directors and so on, because that's how it is. They have a history to then look back on and say, look, we've done this, and look, $1 billion here, $2 billion here, three, you know, and just they know that this plan works, and it's so much different than the way it was before when you had to, you know, the power is completely flipped. And it was just kind of fascinating to how they did that. But yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of these Marvel movies look the same and feel the same. But I think the TV shows, interestingly enough, that's where they're trying to make some different moves. And I like how DC is making some different things. And, you know, they're kind of realizing that so Marvel tries to connect their TV shows to their movies, but DC is kind of like, there's these different multiverses, so everything can happening concurrently, and one doesn't necessarily link to another and so on. It's just kind of, it's kind of interesting. So kind of what you're talking about, you know, Star Wars has struggled with that because they brought in all these heavy hitters for directors and creatives. And then all of a sudden it feels like, you know, 6 months after they're announced, they're off the project due to, you know, what they call conflicting schedules or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And you then 6 months after that, you read, well, the real story is there was disagreements internally about what this movie was supposed to be. And you don't get that a lot with Marvel because they're like, when they bring people in, they're like, this is how it's going to be, or else you're not going to be on the movie, you know?
Yeah, I think the process is so fascinating now, and a lot of it has been like flipped on its ear. I'm going to throw in my favorite Marvel movie is Thor Ragnarok. Mm. And that is because I'm a huge Taika Waititi fan. And when I found out that he landed a Marvel movie, I did like a silent backflip, because I was like, are they going to let this guy go full bore with this stuff? And they did, you know. When I say that to people, they immediately kind of poo-poo it and be like, oh, that movie was all right, you know. But I know that I'm a huge nerd. I've been a nerd my whole life. Like you said at the top of the show, you know, we were into this stuff before it was cool. And I think even being within this stuff, you know, like most people I know who are into the Marvel movies don't consider Ragnarok a top five, you know? Mm-hmm. And I find that very interesting. On the other end of the spectrum, on the DC stuff, I think Suicide Squad, the James Gunn one, is probably my favorite DC flick because it was so much fun. There were stakes in it, you know?
Yep.
You didn't know what was going to happen. The movie is called Suicide Squad, so you were going to expect something like some lunacy, at least with like character deaths and betrayals and things like that, you know? The Star Wars stuff, listen, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I actually enjoyed the new trilogy like big time, because I don't expect the world from the stuff I like, is if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like I consider myself a good fan in the regard of like, listen, I had nothing to do with this. I'm glad it exists. You know, like I'm glad I get to see Han Solo and Luke and Princess Leia. And then I'm glad that there are new characters that are in the sandbox. I do think that they found their footing with this, the Disney Plus series, though, you know, because like you were saying, the first flick was the first flick in the new trilogy, The Force Awakens. I loved it. I know people poo-pooed on it. Rian Johnson did The Last Jedi, right? The second one?
Did he do? I cannot remember. That could be right, yeah.
Last Jedi, and then the third one is The Rise of Skywalker. So after Last Jedi, this guy got, like, ripped a new butthole because people didn't like the direction he took the franchise, and then they tried to write it with bringing back J.J. Abrams to do The Last Skywalker, and a lot of stuff was changed, but people still found something to hate about it, you know? And
yeah,
we live in this, like, really nutty age where, like, fan outcry could change the way something goes in Hollywood. And I feel like that's just, like, something new that never happened before, you know, because it was, like, those olden days of studios going, no, this is the movie we want. Mm-hmm. Do your best to make it. This is what you're getting. Enjoy. Where it's, like, you can say that to people now, and you can be, like, all right, enjoy. And then they're going to immediately go, no, it looks stupid. No, no, this sucks. This looks, I heard it sucked. That's that drives me up a wall.
Oh my God.
Whenever I hear somebody say that phrase, I heard it sucked.
Yeah.
Like, did you see it for yourself? No, but I read about it. It's like, that's like the nerd version of, I do my own research. You know? Right.
Yeah. 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 It's fan service is great in a sense because we've got so many things that we probably never would have got before. But fan service is bad because of those reasons that you just mentioned, right? I mean, it's like people that are immediately, that mentality drives me crazy of, I'm going to go into this not liking it, or, you know, or just, I've read these reviews and, like, I never ever read reviews for something before I've seen it, because I don't want to be tainted. I don't want to think, like, one, I don't want to spoil. I don't think anyone wants to be spoiled, but two, in terms of, like, I don't want someone else's opinion, you know, that to potentially taint mine. Just like, oh, should I feel this way? But like, no, I want, when I see it, I want to feel how I feel. And that's like, that's my first opinion. And also I've seen some movies back where I'm like, initially it's like, I didn't really like this or care for it. Then all of a sudden I watch it again and it's like, huh, I actually really like this. And maybe it's just, maybe I was just having a bad day. Maybe I just, you know, whatever, just, every year your view can definitely change. And yeah, I think the fan service element is good and bad in a lot of ways, but yeah, it's more than ever. A trailer comes out and it's almost like the trailer is more important than the movie itself, because that's going to dictate so much of the conversation about what happens after that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. It's wild. And you know, I'll agree with you about going back and watching stuff that you defended, you know, like the one movie that sticks out is Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire one.
Yes.
And I remember I went to the theater with my buddy Jonathan and my buddy Tony, and the three of us got, like, really stoned before the movie, like really, like, we made, like, because at that point, in a nutshell, like, my buddy Tony worked at the movie theater. He was a manager at the movie theater.
Oh, you got the hookup. I love it.
Not only were we getting the hookup, but he also had connections to, like, the Chili's that was near the movie theater. Like, it was, like, in, like, the same complex. So, like, we just got, like, and I'm not a getting stone guy at all, you know, like, but I was like, yo, let's get ripped up and have some gross Chili's and, like, go to this friggin' movie. And we had the best time, right? I was like, this movie's awesome. I was working at a comic shop at the time. I was telling all the customers, like, yeah, it's great. You don't know what you're missing, blah, blah, blah. And then when that movie came out on, like, DVD, I remember getting it and being like, this is a piece of shit. Like, like, immediate, like, 180.
Yeah.
Totally spinned on my heels. I was like, this movie effing sucks. What was I thinking? And I remember talking to my buddy Jonathan, and I was like, you watched it, right? Like, you watch it again. And we were both like, yo, how the fuck did we think this movie was great?
Yeah, that was not good. It was not good. But let's I want to look back. So I kind of jotted down some stuff that came out this last year. and then some stuff that's coming out this year. So this is stuff that I had that came out movies wise last year. I think this is pretty much everything. This is couple different sources here. So yeah, so Shang-Chi, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Eternals, Black Widow, Suicide Squad, Spider-Man No Way Home, and then the Snyder Cut of Justice League. And that does not count any like full length, like animated stuff like you had mentioned earlier. So yeah, obviously we're in a very unique transition with trying to get back to a normal way of life. But I think movie theaters, I think it's been talked about ad nauseum in terms of like how the movie industry is going to change going forward, how it's been affected by, you know, 2020 and obviously 2021 kind of trying to bounce back. And they're definitely, you know, even with Omicron, the past few months, it did not affect Spider-Man No Way Home in the least bit. It's just people are like, you know what, I'm just going to go and watch this no matter what. Out of those movies, you mentioned the Snyder Cut that you liked, which ones, Suicide Squad, you mentioned you liked, which other one stuck out as good or bad out of that list?
No Way Home was a dream come true.
Oh my God, yes.
No Way Home was a dream come true. So like, I'm also like a little factoid about me. I am also a very dim-witted circumstantial movie viewer. I'm not hard to please, right? Going along with the Star Wars movies and every single one that I saw in the theater, I had a great circumstance that went along with it, right? For Spider-Man No Way Home, my wife and I got tickets. I believe it was Christmas Eve morning, so December 24th at 8:30 in the morning, right? There's a place relatively close to us in Brooklyn called the Alamo Draft House.
I've heard of that before. Is it kind of famous? Or well known?
Yeah, it's well known. So like the whole concept of this place is you go in, you buy your tickets ahead of time, you buy your seats, you get your seats ahead of time, right? Assigned seating. Everything is very cushy and plush. The gimmick at this place is they serve you food and drinks and basically whatever you want during the movie. You know, you fill out like your little check card and the guy comes over and they very silently just come and serve you stuff whenever you want. You know, it's a very seamless system. And the movie theater is also pretty nice because it's got tons of memorabilia, tons of old movie posters, international movie posters. The carpeting is exactly like the carpet from The Shining from the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, nice.
So it's this kind of cool, like I fall for that gimmick and it's like pretty neat. So we got tickets at 8:30 in the morning. Yes, I will have chili cheese fries for breakfast while watching the Spider-Man movie and like a Diet Coke. It was heaven. And the movie was fantastic. I loved it. I can't describe, I guess, the feelings just watching that movie. I got like so emotional. I think my wife got emotional too. And listen, I don't know about your wife. My wife could care less about this stuff. She does not give a shit about superhero movies, right?
Nice. Yeah.
But Spider-Man No Way Home, she's crying. I'm crying. I don't want to give any spoilers away for the three people that haven't seen the movie yet. But listen, that was tremendous. I would say like definitely top three superhero flicks in my book at this point.
Yeah. Oh, that was a Spider-Man fan's dream come true. It was awesome. There was nothing bad about it. I can't wait to see it again. I can't say anything more about it. I think everyone, I don't know anyone that has not seen it, that has seen it and hasn't liked it.
Yeah.
If they didn't like it, I just suggest never go to the movies again because, you know, you clearly have no taste or anything like that. But yeah, so I mean, that was great. I really loved Suicide Squad, and I was so surprised by it because it was a DC movie. And outside the Nolan movies, like, I've really struggled, and this isn't, again, kind of the whole Marvel DC thing. It's not like a WWE AEW thing where it's like you have to pick one side or another. Because at this point, it's like, I just want to go and have a good time, like you were talking about. And for so many of these movies, a friend of mine, he and I pretty consistently go to the movies. He's kind of, because he doesn't really have anyone to go with. I have anyone to go with, and it just works out. And so we see a lot of these, and we just come out of these, like, we have the, you know, the 5-10 minute conversation after the parking lot, like, I don't get this and this and this, and it's never, for the most part, it's never like that was a great movie when you come out of a like a DC movie. It just there's yeah. something wrong with it. And like, you know, I think the closest hit they've had that kind of has been good has been the first Wonder Woman. I thought that was really good. And then but this was awesome. It was funny, and it leads into the Peacemaker, which you and I were talking about the other day, and how awesome that is with John Cena in it. It is like it's just fantastic. And I mean, you got to attribute to James Gunn I think what they did is they allowed some sunshine in, you know what I mean? And they allowed it to be funny, and they allowed to not take itself too seriously, where some of these other movies just have not worked because there's no like human side to it. It's not accessible, and it just doesn't come off as fun all the time. And I like more serious movies, but I just, for whatever reason, like those movies hadn't worked, but Suicide Squad did for me.
Yeah, Suicide Squad was a lot of fun. I think that delineation is like, it's the Suicide Squad, right? Because the first one,
right.
Me and my buddy were kind of the same situation where like I'd go to the movies with my buddy John, and we would do a martini in a movie. Is what we'd like to call it, which is we'd make our own martinis and bring them in a thermos.
Awesome.
And drink them and like pour, give like we'd bring little cups to the movie theater and pour them. So we did that with the first Suicide Squad movie, and like, yeah, we took a cab back to our places, like we weren't trying to drive drunk or anything. And you know, like my wife is like, oh, you look like you had a great time, like how was the movie, was it good? I was like, no, it was terrible, but we had a great time, you know.
Yeah,
I think there's that fun aspect. I'll give you a funny example, like Aquaman. Like, listen, I like that movie a lot. Anything wrong you could say about Aquaman, I will probably agree with you, like 100%. But I still like that fun and dopey movie. You know, like sometimes it just clicks. Mm-hmm. Shazam is another example where, listen, it's nothing to write home about, but that's a fun movie. That's a fun superhero movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Aquaman, I thought Aquaman probably would come in right after Wonder Woman in that vein. I thought that was... that was fun. Spots. Jason Momoa, I thought, is really good. He fits completely. And yeah, we'll talk more about some DC stuff coming up as well. Shang-Chi, I really liked. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I did not like Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I just, the Spider-Man fan, I struggle with it, with the execution of it. There was just so much of it where it's like, this is not working. I don't like the Venom character, how they've done this in the movies. They haven't got it right. I hate it. I hate it since Spider-Man 3, which you mentioned. I don't know. I anyone that remembers that classic arc of when he got the black costume and the whole Secret Wars thing and everything after through Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 300, that was so good, and so how they did that whole execution. And they haven't been able to hit it. And I hope, you know, with kind of how the end of No Way Home worked out and all that stuff, my hope is that they kind of maybe course correct a bit in the however they figure out the multiverse thing and all that. But that did not work for me. Eternals, I thought, was probably the worst Marvel movie I've ever seen. It did not work at all for me. You know, I go into all these with an open mind, and I was just, I really found this tough to get into. I didn't really care about the characters that much. I thought the best part of the movie was the post-grad scene, you know, that didn't work for me at all. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, in looking at the movies, the ones that stuck out, again, No Way Home, Suicide Squad, Shang-Chi, and also Black Widow came out last year as well.
Yes.
And I, the thought that both me and my friend had coming out of that was, I would have liked that movie a lot more if they had done it a couple years ago, when it was still like before the events of Endgame, you know, that it was, it just seemed like it went back to during it, the movie itself was back before Endgame, but it just felt like so like not needed, I guess. Now it just felt kind of out of place. And then my wife and I, she is also like your wife, where she doesn't really care that much about comic book movies, but she likes Thor because she likes Chris Hemsworth, of course. Mm-hmm. And she'll watch him, and she's like, you know, half interested in them. So we're kind of doing a watch in a cinematic order, or sorry, in a timeline order.
Oh, cool.
And so we just got to the Black Widow, where that kind of fits in, and rewatch it. I'm like, this is actually entertaining in timeline order, but then when we watched it initially and it was kind of a year ago, it just felt out of place.
It's not a bad movie. I like Black Widow. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think it. That was one of those movies where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, you know, just for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I watched it on Disney and I really enjoyed it. It ended up being like very enjoyable. I do think that they should have released it on Disney Plus as a 6-episode series, though. I think that would have translated a little better than just like a full blown 2.5-hour movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about any of my other hot takes on Eternals or Venom or anything like that? Agree, disagree?
I didn't see Venom, but I think the course correction is going to be done with whatever they do, you know, with the goop from No Way Home, you know, like from the symbiote goop. I think you're going to get something kind of cool. I want to ask you about that, though. Is it Tom Hardy's a great actor? You know, like there's no doubt about that. Do you not like how he's kind of doing like that Bane-esque voice as the symbiote?
Yeah, I don't like that. I hate it. I hate how they've done the character for, since Spider-Man 3. It's and I like Tom Hardy. I thought have you ever seen Taboo on FX?
No.
That is I think you might like that. So it was a limited series he did like 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
And it was him in the, I think it's like 1800s. It's one of those things where I'm pretty much almost all in on everything that FX does because I think they're awesome. And my wife and I watched it and it was really good, really kind of a transfixing story. And it was a project that he really wanted to get done. Yeah. So I would tell people check that out, Taboo on FX. But yeah, so I like Tom Hardy as an actor. Mm-hmm. I just, the voice thing is weird and they're trying to be funny and not so funny. And I don't know, just, and little things like, you know, the end of the first Venom, the post-credits scene, when they first show Woody Harrelson, Cletus Cassidy, and he has this really obnoxious, like clearly wig. It just looks terrible. And then they flip ahead to Venom, the second one. And the hair is completely different. It's just, it's like one of those just random little things I kind of pick up, but yeah, it's not a great movie. I would say that much. But yeah. And Eternals, what'd you think of that?
All right. So,
if you like it, tell me. That's fine.
So you kind of caught me at a really good point. I'm in the middle, literally in the middle of watching Eternals. Not right now while we're doing this, but I'm in the middle of it. I didn't go to the theater to see it. And it was, I think it came out during like, not the height of COVID, but there were like thick COVID was still a thing, you know? So, and it came out around the same time as the Bond movie. And I didn't see that either, but they have one thing in common in that they're both 3 hours, you know, mm-hmm. I'm spoiled by being able to sit at home, especially during the pandemic. My wife and I got ourselves like a very nice 65-inch TV that we screwed onto the wall, you know, mm-hmm. and we were like, who knows when this is going to be over. If baseball comes back, at least we have like a big TV to watch it on and movies, you know? So that being said, being in lockdown, super spoiled by not going to the movie theater, right? I can get up, I can use the bathroom, I can get myself a drink, I can get myself a snack, I can pause the movie.
You can pause
when
it.
Yep. I can pause it. When Eternals came out, I was like, a bunch of my friends are like, yo, you want to go see Eternals? I'm like, 3 hours, dude. Like, I don't,
oh,
you know?
Boy, it's begun. Oh, no.
Like 3 hours, like I don't know, man. Same thing with like my buddy Alex was like, you want to go see the Bond movie? I was like, yeah, 3 hours, man. Mm-hmm. I can't pause this shit right now, you know. But you know, like I'll hold it for Star Wars, you know, and you know, like or whatever. But like my buddy Alex, I'm gonna use him as like the sounding board because he was like, I'm not gonna tell you my thoughts on it. I just want you to see it, because we talk about movies a lot, right? And I'm halfway through it, and for me, yes, I get like all the cred that the director should have, you know, fantastic director. I felt the first 20 minutes of the movie, as great as it looked, was some of the most soulless superhero stuff I've seen on film. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just didn't do it for me. What I do like, though, is that it's like not so much the action. I feel like at this point the action in superhero flicks just kind of like, you know, you can kind of sleep through and not really miss anything. But I kind of liked it it picked up for me when they started doing the Kingo stuff.
Okay.
You know, with when they went into like how he's like the biggest Bollywood actor and all that stuff, and like how he modeled his career after Icarus, like his character is basically Icarus, and they all like answer to Icarus kind of. I think the Kumail stuff I really, really enjoyed, and that if it wasn't for him, I feel like I don't think I'd like the movie at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you said you're halfway through it?
I'm halfway through it. I'm at the point where Icarus, it's revealed that Icarus, I guess, betrayed them. I love all the celestial stuff. Like with Arishem and like all that shit's really cool. But there's something about it that's just like, I don't know, man. It's a little too, dry, I guess.
Yeah.
For me. What did you think?
I did not like it at all. So I want you to tell me after you finish the movie, let me know when you finish it, because there's something I want to ask you about. I can't tell you because I don't want to ruin it, but there's one specific thing I want to ask you about. I tell you, my favorite character in the movie, because he's a great actor, is Brian Tyree Henry, and he's really good. He's one of the actors in Atlanta, also on FX. He's also done, oh my God, what else has he done?
He was great in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was in that as well. Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. He was probably his most relatable character in a lot of ways. But yeah, so let me know when you finish it in there, because there's one specific thing I want to ask you about that will come prevalent near the end of the movie. And then, Snyder Cut, you're mentioning that. It took me a couple, I assume you didn't, did you watch it in one shot?
Yeah. So like,
wow.
Well, again, very circumstantial, movie watcher. I was originally supposed to watch it online with my brother, and he's in Albany, you know? So like, he's like 3 hours away. So we were like, yeah, let's watch it. It's on. Let's figure out like a way to kind of like sync it up and just like watch it together on like a video chat. Right. So I think our niece was like six or like five and a half or six. And he was like, dude, I can't get 4 hours tonight. You know, like it's impossible. So like our plans were kind of dashed. And then like my wife was coming home like around the same time, and like it was like dinner time that night, and I was like, hey, do you want to get a couple of drinks and just like we'll make some drinks and watch the movie? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And we just like watched it the entire like in one sitting, you know, like wow. We were just like, wow, this is interesting, it's kind of cool, you know, like she's really into like just like filmmaking in general, you know, so she'll sit through it. She sat through it, I think, just because it looked awesome, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it took me two times to watch it. I appreciate that they kind of did differently. And again, there's so much hype built around for so many years, like it was this best film of all time type feel, like people are so psyched at trying to get the Snyder cut out. Now there's like, I'm sure you've seen, there's other like, release this cut of this DC movie, release this cut of this DC movie. And it was fine. I just didn't like Steppenwolf as a villain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just seemed like if you're going to roll that out, like you got to kind of make it like bigger for whatever reason. At least they kind of made him look a little bit better, but it just, the villain thing didn't work. I'm not a big like cyborg guy. I don't know. It just didn't hit for me for whatever reason. Again, I think a lot of it kind of lacked a lot of the humor of some of the Marvel stuff and some stuff we saw in the Suicide Squad and other things like that. But at least it finally got released. And, I think that was kind of the most important thing. Finally this thing got out there, and obviously we found a home in HBO Max.
Yeah. Do you think there was like a little like tokenism with the cyborg stuff?
What do you mean?
In the regards of like, did it feel forced that the studio was like, yes, everybody's white?
Yeah. You know, it was weird because I've never heard about anyone really talk about him as a character. You know what I mean? So it did feel a little forced. And then I didn't really think they did a lot like interesting you know, with the characters, kind of this thing, you know, with his dad kind of helped create him and all this, but it didn't, it just, again, it didn't really relate, you know, he didn't really have like initial sympathy for the character or anything like that. Just kind of, yeah, just, yeah, I can kind of get on with that with it. Just, it didn't, when I think of like, you know, the Justice League movies, or you think of like kind of the build, you think about, let's throw your biggest stars characters in this. And it was kind of like the Flash and Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman. And like, you feel like, okay, this is kind of what it is, 'cause this is what most mainstream people know. And that's like, and Cyborg, it's like, who, you know, I would have rather seen them do reintroduce Green Lantern or something like that. If they want, obviously being inclusive, and that's cool. 'Cause you certainly can do that with the history of how the Green Lantern thing works. But you know, you could have rebooted that character and made that include him, and I think would have made a little bit more sense. But instead, this kind of this random character just didn't make any sense. Ended up there was a, you know, obviously the huge issue with him in the studio, so it was just kind of a mess, all things considered.
I know people don't want to hear two white guys in their 40s talk about tokenism. Yeah. But it is, I think with this movie specifically, I feel like just as a lifelong fan, it was like weird. Like, oh, that's just, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I agree with you 100%. It's awesome that they went the inclusive route. But I feel like if it was John Stewart, Green Lantern, oh my God, that would have been leaps and bounds better, right? Or if they actually went through with the original plan was to have Martian Manhunter in it.
Yep.
You know? And you saw that in the Snyder cut, like he showed up in like that one scene, which I always thought was like really cool, you know. But it's also murky waters too, you know. It's very murky waters when you kind of get into like that stuff. I think people also, like, you know, on one end I think it's fascinating with comic book movies when you do the race swap thing, you know, because invariably if you do it for altruistic reasons, people will complain. If you do it without thinking about anything, people will complain, if you know what I mean. Like, so I think casting Idris Elba as Heimdall in Thor, I feel like that drove people nuts in a certain way. Or when Michael Clark Duncan, when he was cast as Kingpin in the original Daredevil movie, that drove people crazy. But again, those are characters that you can race swap any character, you know. Like, they're talking about having a Superman flick with Michael B. Jordan as Superman, you know.
Yeah,
I'm totally cool with. But it's like, I think I'll agree with you. It's like Cyborg, huh? That's weird.
Yeah. It was just a weird character choice just to begin with. Yeah. So real quick, I want to wrap up in 2020, then we'll kind of quick look ahead. 2021 or 20, go look back at 2021, look forward to 2022. TV wise, we had some interesting stuff. We had WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Hawkeye and Loki. And then we had a slew of different things come out on for DC and other comic books as well, like Doom Patrol, Invincible, Superman and Lois. There was Legends of Tomorrow, Pennyworth, Stargirl, Young Justice. Some of these I've never even heard of before, to be honest with you. But you know, WB, I think it's still called WB. They kind of have their version of their own DC universe that seems to really connect with their audience. Primarily, I haven't seen anything outside the Marvel shows, and I really liked WandaVision just because it was a week to week kind of mystery box, you know. And I love that thing. I used to come home, because they released it so early, I would come home and I would be like watching it at 9. One of my other friends would watch it around the same time, and he'd say, "Did you watch yet?" And I'm like, "No, I'm watching it now." And you just kind of left with this like, "Oh, what's going to happen next week?" And that really didn't happen with those other series. With Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's just kind of a fun kind of action series. Hawkeye was like almost like a extended Christmas movie in a lot of ways. And I thought Loki was really interesting too. That was kind of a fascinating thing, which had, you know, tiny hooks of mystery, kind of like, where's this going? Things like that. But to me, you know, WandaVision led off, and I know a lot of people for some reason, yeah, I didn't really care for those first two episodes of WandaVision for whatever reason. But after that, it was like, this makes sense kind of where they're going. Again, the mystery every week. And I was satisfied from start to finish with that.
Yeah, same here. I loved WandaVision. I think my favorite Marvel show so far has been Loki.
Mm, yep.
Really into it. I love Richard E. Grant as classic looking Loki too. You know,
that was cool. Yeah.
What a well put together show. WandaVision, I really do. I feel like I'm the only guy who really loved those first two episodes. You know? I think because like I have such a fondness for 50s and 60s television because that's kind of what I grew up with, you know, mm-hmm. in an odd way, right? Like when we were kids, like that's what was on TV. Mm-hmm. And Hawkeye, I really enjoyed the CW stuff, like the WB, CW stuff. Like I fell off with pretty hard, but those first five seasons of Arrow, I really enjoyed. That last season was god awful. Flash at this point for me is unwatchable. I used to really champion that show because they did a lot of cool stuff with it. And if you want to talk about inclusivity, my god, like what a diverse cast, right? Legend of Tomorrow, I always thought it was great. Haven't watched it in a year or so. The Doom Patrol, however, have you seen any of it?
No, but everyone that's seen it seems to really like it.
It's really, really well done, and you don't really need to know anything about these characters apart from the fact that they're like misfit toys, basically.
Yeah.
It's a really great show, and that is, if you're going to put Cyborg in something, that was the perfect vehicle to do it because he's part of the cast. And the way he's portrayed on Doom Patrol is awesome. You know, like he's very fleshed out. It's a very interesting, they could have put anybody in like into the show, but for some, like it's interesting that they chose Cyborg to do it on like the TV side. Even the Swamp Thing that they put out was pretty decent. But yeah, like it's hard not to really look forward to the next batch of Marvel stuff. Like Moon Knight is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get to that in a second. I want a really quick ask you about Invincible though. I haven't seen it. Heard a lot of buzz about it. It's based on a pretty popular comic by, I believe it's Robert Kirkman, that did Walking Dead. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Off the top of my head. Yeah. And a lot of people seem to like that. It's on Amazon Prime. It's an animated show, but, yeah, it seems to be, for people that watch it, they seem to really enjoy it. So that seems to be good. As well, but let's look at a 2022 if we can, as we kind of wrap up. So this is a lot of different things coming out in 2022. So let's start from the top. So we have Moon Knight for TV. We have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We have Thor: Love and Thunder. We have Ms. Marvel coming to Disney Plus TV show. We have an untitled Halloween special coming in into Disney Plus. We have Black Panther's sequel, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. We have the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. And then we also have She-Hulk that's supposedly coming in this year. And then let's start with that first chunk as well. We'll start with that chunk and kind of move on to the rest. Moon Knight as well. I'm really excited. I love the I don't know kind of what run it'll tie into in terms of the comics, and may just kind of be an amalgamation of all of them. I really love the Brian Bendis run that he did. And that was just, it was well drawn. I think it I cannot remember who draw that. It was one of my an artist I really enjoyed, and now I'm completely blanking on his name. But the Moon Knight, I think that's going to be really fun. The trailer was watched, like I think it was one of the most widely watched trailers in terms of TV. I think it edged out WandaVision at last check. So that was obviously some interesting stuff there. And yeah, out of that chunk of kind of Marvel TV and movies, what's most of interest?
You're thinking of Alex Maleev.
Alex Maleev, yes, I love his art. Love his art.
Yeah, that was a great run. Have you read the Warren Ellis and Jeff Lemire run?
I have not. I've heard about it, though.
Very. If you like Moon Knight, you'd love those because I think this, whatever we're gonna see with Oscar Isaac, is gonna borrow from the Bendis stuff and the Warren Ellis and Jeff Lemire stuff because they take it to like a whole completely different level, especially with his split personality.
Got it. I'll check that out. Yeah.
What am I looking forward to? Moon Knight, yes. Ms. Marvel, I think, is going to be awesome. She-Hulk is going to be great. I have no doubt that any of the stuff on Disney Plus is going to be fantastic. Am I brainwashed? Probably. Wow. Can you repeat the movies are coming out this year?
All right. So I'm going to go over all these. So Moon Knight, you're excited for. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Excited?
Very excited.
Thor: Love and Thunder.
Very excited.
Ms. Marvel, that's a TV show. We talked about that. Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
I'm excited. I do think that it's okay to recast Black Panther.
Yeah, I know. I guess we don't even know if they're really going to do that, though, right?
Marvel has said that they will not recast the role, but Chadwick Boseman's brother has come out and said, listen, he'd want you guys to recast it. That being said, I think there's a possibility you can have another Black Panther, right? Because right. in Multiverse of Madness, there's supposedly like these rumors that we're going to get different versions of your beloved MCU characters, perhaps new versions of them. And the one that has been memed and reposted on social media is Tom Cruise's Iron Man. You know, Tom Cruise's Tony Stark.
Oh, interesting.
Now, right. And I think that would be kind of cool. Who's to say you can't have another Black Panther from a different dimension?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think that movie, I'd be kind of cool to see how that kind of, helps kind of do some of those things that they may be looking to achieve. Yeah. Interesting stuff. So let's go to this next chunk here. So we'll do the same thing. This is it's a mix of like non-Marvel properties, but Morbius.
I'm excited because it looks like a hokey horror flick. So that kind of does it for me on a certain level.
Yep. Yep. I'm interested in that as well. The Batman.
Oh, dude, I'm betting the farm on that one, man.
Yeah. I'm all in. I love the Batman movies. They were just awesome. And this one, Batman's not really a character I would, add too much light to, I guess I would say. The tone that they take works, and I'm excited by the trailers. And I know some people are like, whatever, it's gonna be long. I don't care. I'm all in. I'm all in for that.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah. DC League of Super Pets.
Sure.
Black Adam starring The Rock.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm okay. I like The Rock, but like I'm okay with like, you know, I feel like it's going to be, I feel like he has so much control over what he does and what his brand is that it's going to definitely have like a Rock feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be interested in see how, he wouldn't seem to fit, I don't think, into the Marvel universe in terms of like, again, we're talking about it's more producer controlled versus star controlled. And I think DC is just like, you know, we'll kind of take whatever we can get. Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one I had a day off and I went to this theater. That's like, the only thing they're showing around was like half an hour away. And I'm just like, I'll do an actual movie. I haven't done this in a long time. And when I loved the first one, it was just really, it was super entertaining. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the second one. The Flash.
Yes. 100%.
And I know you're going to be excited about this one. Aquaman 2.
You know what? I'm down for it. I will sit in the theater by myself. You know what? Like whenever these movies come out, I don't mind going to the theater by myself. I've seen tons of movies by myself in the theater.
Me too.
And I love it. I feel like Aquaman, I might, you know, like, and the our local theater is like a 3-minute drive from us and it's got like reclining seats and everything. So yeah. Like maybe Aquaman 2. I'll go by myself, get a big popcorn and just really enjoy it.
Nice. Find a Chili's and maybe take a couple edibles beforehand or something like that, right? a couple other things. These are mostly TV shows and things like this. The Sandman comes out on Netflix at this year. This is a kind of a, I would say a niche series, but this was like a huge like cult comic back like I think when we were kids, like in the 80s, right? Neil Gaiman.
I want to say 89 so to 96 maybe.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah, yeah. But this I think for fans is the for the series, they're really looking forward to this, maybe kind of like cautiously optimistic because of some of the things that they've heard. I don't really know that much about the character. I just know this has kind of been one of those things that's always just existed in my comic fandom, but I've never actually checked it out.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, just stop doing this right now. Okay. Hang up on me. Hang up on me and read. Sandman's awesome, man. Sandman is top to bottom, one of the best things you'll ever read as a comic fan. It has everything. It's poetic. It's sad. There's action in it. There's mysticism in it. So much stuff has come out of the Sandman universe, you know, like it's awesome. It's anything I say about it is going to belittle how good it is.
Okay. I'll check it out. You and I have talked about Peacemaker.
Yeah.
I think it's a 6-episode run. I think it might be wrapping up next week. It is, it's great. It's so great. If people haven't checked it out, it is John Cena, as you You've seen him before in The Suicide Squad, but it is him like turned up to 11. It's great. It's like, as my friend put it, it's like stupid Deadpool, like just his character. And it's,
oh yeah,
it goes and it's like, okay, is this just kind of a one-off, like, is this just one kind of one joke in the movie and in the show, and then the rest of it's going to be flat? No, it's like funny from start to finish. It's poignant in the right spots, and we'll see kind of how it finishes up. But it's, so far, it's like A+ for me. It's great.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. I went to this comic store yesterday to pick up my weekly books, and there's an older guy that I've known forever who, like, usually our time to get to the store on Wednesdays kind of like interact with each other, like, yeah, they intersect. So like I'm there, and then I hear him talking to Chris, the guy who works there, and he's like, "Oh, give me a break with Peacemaker. Who cares? It's so stupid. It's silly." I was like, "What's the matter? You didn't like it?" He's like, "No, you know what? I don't understand. It's too silly. It's gross. Too much nudity. He's naked all the time." And I turn around. I'm like, "John, do you have eyes in your head? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, it's funny." He's like, "I don't care if it's funny. I don't want it to be funny." I was like, "Well, you know, maybe it's not for you then."
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh my God, it's for everyone else. It's so great. So great. And then this is kind of something you're talking about with CW and everything like that. Second season of Superman and Lois. Something called Naomi, Legends of Tomorrow, Batwoman, The Flash, Stargirl, Titans, which people seem to like. Again, kind of a more adult take on comic book shows, live action. Young Justice, Phantoms, and then also another season of Doom Patrol. Any interest in any of that?
Yes. If you have not checked out Titans, please do. It's really, really incredible. I think Titans is what anybody who worked on those CW shows like Flash and Arrow, I feel like Titans is what they could have and would have done if they were able to. You know, it's a very adult superhero drama, and it's violent. It's well written. It's well acted. That first season is really cool. I want, like, if you haven't watched it, Josh, I want, if you haven't watched it, I highly suggest that you do, if that's in your purview.
I'll check it out. I get time to figure that out. Yeah, absolutely. I've it's kind of, yeah, one of those that multiple people brought up. Now you're bringing it up, that yeah, might as well give it a run. And yeah, I have no idea about anything about it. Very, very little. So yeah, I'll go into it fresh eyes. And then also Marvel originally had Secret Invasion and then What If season 2, but that has been fallen off the schedule. So I guess that maybe pushed back to 23, or PLS speculation about the Marvel Secret Invasion thing. Maybe they're going to turn that into something bigger. Who knows? Let's see, man, we talked about all types of stuff. Rich, we talked about 2021, 2022, our past in comics. One thing I want to ask you about before I let you go. Were you as sad as I was that Why the Last Man, that the show was not as it just didn't work?
Yes. What a bummer.
Devastated. Devastated. I loved that. I loved that story, that run. It was, it's just so good. It's so good. And I'm like, okay, FX is behind this. And I have just, this has, like, to me, I'm like, because I just get tired of Walking Dead after a while. So it kind of just got repetitive.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, this has that capability to be the next Walking Dead if you hit it right. And how can you not? Because you look at this body of work and like, this is it. And they just didn't get it. And I kind of read about, you know, some of the, there were COVID affected it a lot, and there was multiple showrunners on it, and it just didn't work. You know, I have some, maybe someday they can just reboot the whole thing. I don't know if that's likely or not, but I was devastated that wasn't good.
Yeah, dude. Like my wife and I are huge Why the Last Man fans, big Brian K. Vaughan fans in general. And we watched that first episode, and halfway through we looked at each other and we're like, yeah, this sucks. it wasn't like, because yes, I understand that you cannot stick 100% to the source material, but when you're bouncing back and forth as much as they were in that first episode, it took a lot of the magic out of the main story, you know? I hope it comes back. I hope maybe, but again, it's like, that might be like one of those like one and done kind of things where it's like, well, we're never going to go back to this. Much like the Jupiter's Legacy, Jupiter Circle stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, that got like canceled. Like I enjoyed it, but I just don't think it hit the note it was supposed to. And also, I think the biggest, but I don't think it was, I think it was 2020 maybe. The biggest bummer for me as far as like a comic book property that got canned was Deadly Class.
Deadly Class. What was that on?
Deadly Class was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, okay.
And it was based on a Rick Remender comic. And the comic itself, they stuck hardcore to the comic, right? Benedict Wong was in it. It was extremely well acted, very well done. From what I read, it was like a... there was no option for it to continue somewhere else. Whereas, are you familiar with The Expanse?
I have heard of it. I could not tell you much about it.
So The Expanse was, it was, it hovered on, it went from Amazon to the Sci-Fi Channel and then back to Amazon for its like final three seasons. Right. Mm-hmm. So that had, that show had the infrastructure in place to continue. It's okay that different studios took over. Right. So apparently with Deadly Class, as soon as the word came from on high that it wasn't getting renewed, apparently everything got totaled. Like the sets, the costumes, everything got locked up, boarded, and like almost not destroyed, but like just gone. Right. Yeah. So there wasn't even an option for Netflix or Amazon to say like, hey, we'll pick up the show. You know, like as soon as it got canceled, that was it. And it was 10 episodes of just like brilliance, you know, like it really, that was like a really excellent, excellent comic book show. I think they collected it all on like a Blu-ray or something, you know, but it's yeah, really, it's really awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Well, Rich, you've been generous with your time as always. You are of course the co-host of the Mad Men podcast, but let people know, because again, we're not talking about wrestling this time, where people can hear you on your film podcast and everything else. Floor is yours.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's always fun talking to you. We should exchange actual phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find me talking about movies on Film Zeros on Twitter. And I have a podcast with my buddy Alex, Film Class Zeros, on iTunes. It's the same thing. We talk about movies that we like, see if they hold up. And we're kind of finding our groove right now. We're about 9 episodes in. And, you know, it's a fun show. Again, if you want to hear about like kind of two dorky dudes talk about movies. And you can find me also at BTC Rich on Twitter. And I have Behind the Counter 2.0 on YouTube and iTunes, where I interview a different creator every week, comic book creator, somebody I like in general. You know, it doesn't have to be specifically a comic book creator, but generally creators. I know, Josh, you're going to come on. I'm going to have a couple other people on and, you know, talk about comics. And that comes out every Saturday, usually. And that's about it.
Nice. And before I let you go, I just have been thinking about movies and you're talking about it. Maybe think of this. Have you heard of this podcast called At a Theater Near Me?
No, I haven't. I'm going to make a note of that.
So it just started this year. So it's a guy actually lives not too far away from me. His name is Chris Klemmer, and he's doing a podcast where he is attempting to go see a different movie in the theater every single day for an entire year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So he does, he updates the pod, every 2 days for what he's gone to see. And yeah, it's called At a Theater Near Me. And yeah, I think it's kind of, I've listened to a few of them because again, he goes to a lot of Massachusetts theaters, but also some theaters kind of here. Huh. And it's an interesting, like how he has to strategize in terms of, you know, how
his
like,
wallet?
Well, yeah. So, yeah. So he's got a couple sponsors for it already, but yeah, like kind of like there's the driving, there's the, obviously, you know, trying to get the, like the AMC movie pass and Regal movie pass and things like that. But also things like, okay, so Spider-Man, No Way Home comes out.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't, if you're strategizing, because again, movies are a lot different in terms of releases today as they were like 2018, 2019. Right. So he's got to strategize when he sees that, so he can almost like kind of like slow play it. You know what I mean? Like he has to kind of figure out, okay, if I see that now, what if all of a sudden there's a dry run of no new releases or nothing new coming out for him to see? He's got to kind of like try to have a strategy behind the big movies to as far as when to see them, like right before they leave theaters, because otherwise, you know, he's seeing like a lot of like re-releases and things like that. But it's kind of interesting how, again, he's trying to see 365 movies, one a single day, an entire year. We're supposed to have, obviously, as you know, we're supposed to potentially have like bad, like a huge nor'easter coming on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that could derail things. So yeah, it's kind of just kind of interesting, like interesting project that someone's looking to take on. And yeah, so I would say for people interested in movies, I'd try check out a theater near me. He's a, of course, a unique guy. And yeah, it's a kind of a unique endeavor for sure.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I could watch, go to the movie theater 365 days. I think one point might take the fun out of it. I don't know. That's just me though.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rich Stambolian, thanks so much for stopping by. And yeah, we'll talk more about comics and all this other stuff soon.
Anytime, dude.
All right. Big thanks to Rich Stambolian for dropping by. Obviously, check him out on Twitter, his movie pod, all that good stuff. And let me know if you liked it. Again, a little bit different, something different for a post-Royal Rumble Sunday afternoon edition of the show. But yeah, it's been something we've kind of wanted to do for a while, so screw it. Yeah, you gotta try these things out every now and again. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. And in the next couple of days, we'll have another Josh Nason's Punch Out. No interviews this time around. However, what I'm going to do, and I've been listening to my year in review shows that all of you were so great to listen to, all 16 episodes of them. And I was interested in a couple like predictions, but thoughts for the year ahead type of stuff. And there were some of those last few shows that I thought were worth pulling out and kind of giving a little bit more context to. And for some of those people that didn't listen to those shows, this might give a little bit just a kind of a different spin on a few things. So I'm also finishing listening to those and pull some audio out, and I think it'll make for a good quick episode coming up this week. And then probably in the week after that, give or take, we'll get back to doing some interviews and the stuff we usually do here on Josh Nason's Punch Out. So for Rich Stambolian, for all of you, thanks to all of you for listening. You have a lot of choices in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or any of the fine podcast hosts here on WrestlingObserver.com. And until next time, could be in a couple days, insert catchphrase here.